listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Last week brought some movement in the case or cases against Joseph DeAngelo, the man believed to be the East Area Rapist and the Golden State Killer. Additional charges were filed and a decision was made about where the trial would be held. CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt is joining me by phone. He's going to help us track the latest developments. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Beth.
So would you outline the case against him as it stands now against Joseph James DeAngelo?
Well, the case in the terms of the number of counts just doubled. It went from 13 murder charges with some special circumstances, including that those murders were committed during the commission of a rape or burglary, to include 13 crimes from what many people call the East Area Rapist cases, which were from the mid-70s to mid-80s, mostly early 80s. And there are 13 counts, though the rapes are not charged. The kidnapping in order to commit robbery are charged. And the reason that they charge the kidnapping cases instead of the rape cases is because the kidnapping cases, the statute of limitations at the time, did not allow for prosecution at this date.
Some of the charges carry special circumstances, and those allegations are important in terms of the penalty phase, but the trial itself. Will you give some context there?
Well, it's an additional penalty. It's also the criminal justice system provides stricter penalties for people convicted of committing a crime while committing another crime. It's not just a one-off. It's you were doing this thing illegally, and then you did this thing illegally on top of it, especially if that whatever that crime is results in the death of someone. There's particular weight given to that. So in the murder cases, many of the male victims, the cases against the charges against DeAngelo, for those male victims have a special circumstances of murder committed during the commission of a burglary or commission of a robbery. And then for the females who were killed during those incidents, then there is a special circumstance of a murder committed during the commission of a robbery and murder committed during the commission of a rape.
Tell me a bit about the legal team that's being assembled and what is happening between now and December. And I don't believe there's even a plea being entered yet, is there?
No plea has been entered yet. And we're not exactly sure right now who the attorney may be. That issue was raised in court last week as the prosecuting attorney asked that a review of Mr. DeAngelo's finances be conducted to find out that if he, in fact, is indigent or is unable to provide for his own defense financially. So right now, the defense attorney team consists of a couple of court-appointed attorneys. And then on the prosecution side, we have representatives from the district attorney's offices from six counties where the Golden State Killer murders occurred, but they all agreed to have the case tried in Sacramento. A good half of the cases attributed to Mr. DeAngelo by the district attorneys were committed in Sacramento County in the early going, and so they decided that it was for the best to have everything centrally located, at least in the capital city.
Did that come as a surprise to some people, Bob? I had heard speculation early on that maybe the trials would be in the location of the very first crime or somewhere in Southern California where the majority of some of the crimes occurred. What was kind of that talk around the case, if you will?
Well, I think some people hoped that their cases that were committed in or the crimes that were committed in their communities would be tried in their communities. But there are costs associated with that. In essence, if you try each case individually in each county, then you have to go through the whole procedure over again. You don't, and when you combine the cases and you try them in one location, then you save time, you save money, and save effort. And in addition, you are able to pool your resources so that all of these district attorney's offices and investigators are able to make sure that each other's cases are airtight before they go to trial. So basically, you expand by sixfold the amount of resources that you have. In addition, District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert said that her office was, because of the size of Sacramento County, was particularly suited to hosting the trial. And there is going to be a cost associated with it. And there was some talk or possibility of perhaps having state assistance in that, but I don't think anything's been finalized with regards to that.
You're listening to CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt. As you talk about the possibility of a trial, there's the matter of the difficulty and the trauma and the memories for victims. There was at least one, and at each hearing there have been many more victims or relatives of victims in the courtroom. Do you want to talk for a moment about Jennifer Carroll, and then we'll hear a little bit from her?
Yeah, it was the first time I talked to Jennifer, and she stopped and talked to a couple of us outside the proceedings after the last hearing in which the latest kidnapping for the intent of robbery charges were added. And you know, it's difficult. It's been difficult. A lot of old memories have been dredged up. You know, something that traumatic happened 40 years ago, time does allow people to heal. And with the new charges, then a lot of that emotion and healing kind of goes away, and you have to start all over again. And so that's where we kind of are here. And we talked to Jennifer outside just about hearing not only the charges in the case of her own parents, but also all of the other people who have been affected by the East Area Rapist, Golden State Killer. And again, he's not been convicted of anything, but whoever the person is, just hearing the list of names and hearing the list of charges has been somewhat traumatic to the survivors.
That was very, very intense and really tough. I felt it for Shelley, Janelle, and Sherry's relatives. It was hard to hear every count by itself.
And it was all of 15 minutes, I guess, that the judge was reading the counts. Just an update on Joseph DeAngelo himself, how he looked in the courtroom.
Quite a bit thinner. He came in. He still is not. You're handcuffed, you're shackled, so as a prisoner coming into the courtroom, so you're not moving very briskly, so he's always been very hesitant or tentative as he's come into the jail cell that's inside the courtroom. But it was noticeable that he had lost a considerable amount of weight. Jennifer noted that as well. And actually a couple of people sort of expressed concern about his health. I don't think not because they were particularly concerned about his health for him, but because they were wondering what was going on and if there was a possibility that, you know, he was weakening to the point of maybe not being able to make it through the trial. So it was definitely noticeable, but it's not unusual. I remember the Sandra Cantu case. The defendant in that case gained a tremendous amount of weight in a relatively brief amount of time. And it's, the stress of being in that situation, I'm sure, causes the human brain and body to react quite differently depending on the person.
So last question, Bob, what's the next step in this?
December 6th, we return to court, and we await the investigation as to whether Mr. DeAngelo can, in fact, defend himself or can afford to defend himself. And then it'll be some time. I talked to an attorney, a well-known attorney, afterwards as we were just walking down the street to our cars, and I asked him what his best guess was as to when we might actually have a plea, and he said, it's going to be months. There's no telling. Their legal teams have to be assembled, to your previous question, and the defense will continue as long as they can until They have some idea of what is going to be presented and how they're going to defend Mr. D'Angelo. So right now, a lot of it is in the defense court because the defense is the entity in this case that's asking for these continuances. So we charged in, April? And we still haven't had no plea yet, and we have another 3 months to go, or 4 months to go. So it's anybody's guess right now, but I think the people that are holding the cards really are the defense attorney as far as the timeline.
All right, Bob, thanks for the time this morning and the update on the case.
Sure.
That is CAP Radio reporter Bob Moffitt. You can find continuing coverage of the Joseph D'Angelo story and more background at capradio.org. This is Insight on CAP Radio.